I'm Terry Clark, and I want to welcome you to my podcast, Country Gold Backstage.
You're listening to Country Gold. I'm Terry Clark, and backstage at the Grand Ole Opry here with me this weekend, my special guest, Joe Diffie. Thanks
hey,
for joining
Terry.
Me. I'm so happy you're here. I've been dying to get you on this show for
well,
so long.
Thank you.
You know,
I haven't seen you in a little while.
I know. Last time we saw each other, we did a show with Aaron Tippin
and
Sammy Kirsch. No, Mark Chestnut.
Chestnut.
Where was it?
It was Chestnut.
It was Chestnut and me and you. That's
yeah.
what I get mixed up because, you know, all such great songs.
They all look alike.
All of you guys look exactly the same. No, but that was a lot of fun, and I was so excited to be on stage hearing those songs and hearing you guys sing those songs. I'm such a big fan.
Oh, well, thank you. It's the same for us. I mean, you know, I tell you what, I love singing with some other, you know, other artists because it's kind of cool to be like, just, you just sit there and listen to them. And, you know, it's like Chestnut. I mean, he's the same every night. You know, he always sings great.
Yeah.
You know, so it's always fun to me.
You've now we're here at the Opry and you've been a member for 25 years.
God.
Inducted in 1993, which feels like yesterday sometimes, but then
some days
it doesn't.
Yeah, it exactly.
So many memories in the last 25 years. Which ones stand out the most about the Opry for you?
Oh, probably one that happened to me early on. I had the song "If the Devil Danced in Empty Pockets."
He'd have a ball in mine.
That's exactly right. So the problem was, so the band kicked it off. They introduced me, and then I think it was Porter. He stopped me on the way to the microphone, and the band just kept on playing through the song, and I got up there. I had no idea where in the song I was because they'd already played past the first verse, you know, into the first verse.
So he just stopped you?
Yeah, he just shake my hand and, you know.
Just to hang out and
hang
say
out.
Hi.
Yeah,
and
so the band kicks off.
Have
so
a little party.
From that point forward, it was a lesson learned because I had to stop them. I said, just everybody stop.
Everybody just follow me from now on. Just keep going back to the beginning if I haven't started singing yet.
So from now on, we vamp in whatever chord
hilarious.
It is. Just keep playing in that chord.
One time, Mark Wills was, Mark Wills was my guest a while back on the show, and he remembered a night at the Opry when you were on stage and you called him out to sing Ships That Don't Come In with you.
Yeah, I was sicker than a dog.
Is that why you asked him?
Yeah.
Not with me, but for me.
Exactly. I said, can you help me out, man? I can't even talk. He goes, yeah.
That's a really great idea.
Yeah, it worked great. And he sings it great, too, you know. So I was like, well, heck, he just sings it better than I do. So I just get him out here every time I'm out here. So, yeah. So one time I told, this is a funny Opry moment, to me at least. I was backstage, and I had a cold again or allergies, whatever it was. And I was talking to Bill Anderson, and he was asking me what I was going to sing. And I said, well, I said, Bill, I don't know if I can say, I can barely even talk. He goes, hell, I made a living out of it.
That's great. I'm going to be Bill Anderson tonight a little bit. I've got that going on right now.
Fine.
A little bit. You had so many hits during the 90s, and now it seems the 90s are sort of having a resurgence and they're back. There are a few songs on the radio right now about the 90s. One was written about you called 1994. And you actually do it in your own show?
Well, I do like the chorus of it, you know, just to let the folks sing along with it, you know. It was when I first heard it, man, you know, Thomas Rhett and a couple other great writers, Luke Laird and a couple other guys wrote it, and then of course Jason Aldean recorded it, mm-hmm. and put it out. I was like, when I first heard it though, I heard Thomas's version of it, mm-hmm. and I was with a couple of my guys on the bus, and somebody had told me, hey, I heard there's a song with your name in it or something. I'm like, okay, cool. So I got a copy of it thinking it would say, you know, I heard Joe Diffie on the jukebox or something. And then little did I know. So we were looking at
the whole chorus.
Yeah, I'm like,
it's
what
a
the
chant.
Hell is this? So
yeah, and, you funny. Know, every other 90s artist hearing that song is just waiting for a song where their name is going to be the subject matter. It's like, it's going to happen this year, isn't it?
It was quite, I tell you what, it was an honor. It was embarrassing, and yet it was an honor. And
come on, it had to be cool.
It was cool. I mean, it was cool. Yeah, you know, we got a lot of, you know, it gave me a little shot in the arm in the old career, you know, so it didn't hurt a thing.
They held a 90s benefit last spring to pay tribute to the late Daryl Singletary. What are your memories about Daryl? Were you too close?
You know, I knew Daryl. We weren't super close or anything. I mean, we really liked each other. We texted each other, you know, about 3 in the morning, he texted me, you singing this, oh, you know, whatever. And, you know, so, but I think we both just appreciated each other's singing, you know, like we all do around, you know. So, I just remember him coming up on stage with me in Vegas. I was there. He just happened to come by, so I got him up and he sang one of my songs. And so that's been pretty cool. You know, he was such a genuine guy. I mean, I called him one time to do this, like a little short video on his phone just to, for a charity thing, and he sent it to me like right away. I mean, you know, just that hit didn't him haw. I was just like, yeah. What do you need?
Well, you know, he was such a great country singer.
Yeah,
so
he
authentic.
Was, man. One of the best.
Speaking of country singers, you've done shows with, we were just talking about this earlier, I got confused because you've done shows with Aaron Tippin and Sammy Kershaw, so have I. And Sammy likes to tell a story about almost cutting one of your hits.
Right, yeah.
Which one?
Well, it was the John Deere Green, as it turns out. That's a lot shorter version than Sammy tells.
Oh, but I know, I've heard it. Like, damn Joe Diffie.
he says that he heard it first, you know, so that was kind of interesting. I had no idea. Did you ever miss out on any songs that were hits?
I did, actually. Guys do it all the time. Got pitched to me, and I felt like I had so many of those types of songs at the time that I passed on it, and then Mindy McCready had this huge hit on it, and I might have wanted to do that.
I had a couple, too, but, you know, like... Diamond Rio had those cows in the road and jump in the left and do this. And I was just like, that's probably a hit, you know, but I just doesn't fit what I'm doing at the time.
Well, sometimes, you know, a song I think finds its home with the artist it's meant to be with.
Absolutely.
Aaron's been actually on the show, Aaron Tippin, and he's talked about his wine. Now, if you tried his wine, I got a good story I could tell about Aaron Tippin.
He's been too cheap to bring me a bottle, so I haven't tried it.
he likes to brag about liking cheap wine. He doesn't keep it a secret.
Right.
One night he was, we did a show with him and Sammy, and I had a bus, and Aaron, I think, had flown out and was driving. So he rode the bus, and we were sitting in the front lounge and drinking some cheap wine. And the drawer in the back of the bus with all my lady undergarments in it kept flying open. Every time, and the bathroom was in the back of the bus, so every time Aaron went to go to the bathroom, that drawer was open, and he'd go, Terry, your toolbox is open. So now that's what we call Spanx my tools now.
Toolbox, tool belt.
Before you were a recording artist, you sang on a lot of demos that became hits for other people. And I remember hearing that story. I moved to town in 1987, so I used to hear all the time about how you were singing on all of these demos, and there's one that we still play a lot of, and it's called I've Cried My Last Tear for You by Ricky Van Shelton. We play that on the show a lot.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that song, or do you even remember
vaguely
singing that?
I think Paul Nelson, Gene Nelson, I think they were writers. I'm not positive about that. But I just remember going, and I was kind of new singing demos. You know, I'd done it for a spell, but so it was kind of the first session I did for those guys. And so I was all nervous, and, you know. You know, when you do something like that, you just never think you do a good job on it, you know. So I'd like, well, I can come back later, and, you know, no, that's great. I was like, really? Oh, yeah, it's fine. It's great. I'm like, sure.
The thing I don't like that they say is, we'll make that work.
We'll make that work.
I don't like that.
That'll work.
That's never a good sign. We were talking about John Deere Green earlier, and that's probably my favorite song of yours.
Awesome.
And my favorite Sammy Kershaw song happens to be Queen of My Double Wide Trailer, and they're both written by the same guy
Dennis Lindy, also
wrote Goodbye Earl. Such a great songwriter, such colorful lyrics.
I think he actually, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong on this, but I've heard that he actually was a co-writer or wrote Hunk a Hunk of Burning Love for Elvis.
Wow.
Yeah. So at one time he had like four or five songs on the charts all at once. At one point, I think it happened more than once, but like four or five at one time.
That would be fun.
Yeah, how about that?
No kidding. I'm in the top 40, like literally the
all
top
of
40.
Them.
I'm
I
all
am
of
the top
40.
He apparently, from what I also understood, because from very reliable sources, he had a mural drawn on his wall of an entire town, and that's where. And he had everything named and all the characters named, and he would like write scenarios based on that mural.
I've heard that too, from more than one person. Mm-hmm. So it's obviously got to be true.
Right.
But I think that's really cool.
That's really interesting.
I mean, what an interesting way to draw inspiration for songs, you know,
having your own
little town of make-believe people and water towers and painting John Deere Green. You've written hits for some other people too. Holly Dunn, Tim McGraw, Jody Messina.
Yep.
She had a number one hit with My Give a Damn's Busted.
Yeah.
And
that was fun.
You know, writing songs for other artists and hearing what you write you know, being interpreted by somebody other than yourself has got to be fun. Like, I cut mostly everything that I write.
Right.
I haven't experienced as much of that as you have.
It's very interesting. It's like, because you just don't know what, you know, because you know, usually I sing on my demos or whatever. And actually, I recorded my Give a Damn's Busted for one of my projects, one of my albums, you know. So yeah, it was cool. And in fact, the weird part was I didn't even know she had recorded it. I had no idea until one of my buddies said, "Hey, did you write a song called My Give a Damn's Busted?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, I just heard Jody Messina singing. I'm like, "Really?" I had no idea. So I started calling around. I was like, "Sure enough, she recorded it."
Happy
Pretty
birthday.
Cool. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Delicious surprise.
I know. No kidding. I call those happy surprises or happy accidents. You don't know it's happening. And then when it does, it's like, oh, this is great.
Yeah,
it's like somebody just
sending
you a check. Yeah, exactly. Your first single, Home, came out in 1990, and I'll never forget it. I remember exactly where I was living, what I was doing, where I was working. I mean, selling cowboy boots when that song came out. And I was, and still am, such a big fan. And I didn't get my record deal till 5 years or something after that. So you were somebody that I did a lot of line dancing to and emulating. And I bought your record,
Thank you.
And that same year, another traditionalist made his debut. Mark Chestnut came out of the shoot that year, and you're friends with him. Have you guys just gotten closer doing shows together recently, or have you been friends for a really long time?
We've been friends for a long time, ever kind of since the beginning. We actually did shows early on, and you know, you just hit it off with some people. You know, I've got a lot of friends in the industry, obviously, but Mark's probably one of my favorite people. You know, he just, because there's no BS with Mark. He just, you know, if you don't want to know something, don't ask
Pretty
him.
Pretty much.
You know? So he's just such a cool guy. And the funny thing about that is, you know, I had Home was my song, and he had Too Cold at Home.
Mm-hmm.
So all the time it happened to both of us. People yell at me, "Sing Too Cold at Home." I'm like, well, that would, but that's Mark Chestnut's song.
So. I know. I get some of that. Even today, it's like, I just love heads Carolina, tails California. I'll just tell Jody Messina you said that. I'm sure she'd love to know that. You did the ACM Honors recently, where you sang a George Jones song, The Grand Tour. But you usually sing a Jones song in every show, right?
Well, yeah, I sing. Actually, we've been doing recently one of his old honky tonk songs, You're Still on My Mind. And so, you know. I do a snippet of He Stopped Loving Her Today. I just, you know, I don't know if you got to meet and hang around George's. I happened to be able to do that, you know, and he was, you know, at first I was so intimidated. I didn't even know what to say to him. I just sat there and stared at him. I probably made him uncomfortable, you know, but after a while he got where he'd loosen up and he'd tell stories, and it was just,
Coolest. I got to do his TV show. Remember that TV show that he had on TNN? And I once in a while will break out in male impersonations and do, you know, impersonation of John Conley and George Jones and John Anderson. And I worked up the nerve, and they all talked me into doing my George Jones impersonation for George Jones.
Nice.
And there's something on YouTube about it. Somebody posted something the other day, and I just looked at it, and I was like, I can't believe I had the cojones to do that.
I did that with Billy Bob Thornton.
Did you really?
With Sling Blade.
And how did that go?
It was awful. I was so embarrassed.
Oh, no.
Oh, see, he went, oh, that's nice. That's
At
good.
Least it wasn't on national television.
No, it was backstage here somewhere.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So are you working on any new music?
Yeah, it's all done and in the can, and you just pick which one you think it might be in.
I'm sure it's great.
Well, it's great. Got some good stuff. We have a single out, and it's called I Got This, and so, yeah, it's just, you know, just it's fun to have new stuff. And I've had it done so long, though, I'm ready to move on and do some more stuff.
So you're doing a lot of touring, still on the road. Yep. What kinds of shows? Are you doing band shows and then some package type things with other artists?
Doing a lot of several of those acoustic shows that we've talked about. Just did one the other night with Mark Chestnut. So that was a lot of fun, just he and I. And actually, Lone Star was there. I'm sorry. The Lone Star and us. And they played after we did because of the whole band situation.
Mm-hmm.
But those, we're doing band shows. We do fairs, festivals, bar mitzvahs, circumcisions, wherever they'll pay us.
Well, I don't know what those pay. I've never done those.
Not very
I
well.
Might have to get my agent to check out what those pay. It's so great talking to you. For more information, everybody, all you Joe Diffie fans out there, go to joediffie.com. to hear about new music and touring. Thank you for joining me on Country Gold this weekend.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Terry. Country Gold with Terry.